Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
Wow. Grab your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. That was amazing. I'm just kind of enjoying that for a second. Thank you, team. Thank you. 1 John 3:8. If you were here a year ago, you heard this story, but I figured it's good enough to tell again. My wife teaches fifth grade, and in their classroom, they were talking about schools. One little boy said he wanted to go to Alabama to play football. And my wife asked him, well, what would you like to study? And he just kind of had a blank stare. And he said, what do you mean study? She said, well, no, what do you want to, like, classes you want to take? What major, what do you want to be? He said, I just want to play football. That's why I'm going. He had no idea that Alabama was a higher learning institution. He just wanted to go play football. Second funny story, they were talking about school, and it came up, Mrs. Mills, did you had to go to college, right? You had to go to teach us. Where did you go to college? And she said, oh, I went to a school called Southeastern in Florida. And one little girl said, oh, Florida, aloha. Would you stand for the reading of God's word and turn to your neighbor and call their name and say, aloha, neighbor. Florida, aloha. There we go. 1 John 3:8. Here's what it says. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Let's read that together out loud. I'll count us off. We can read in cadence. 1, 2, 3. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Father, we are standing and honoring of your word this morning. We hear it. We've said it. Now, God, let it get deep inside of our spirit. Let it transform. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and do your work so that the word would have an effect on us. It would produce results. Something would happen as a result. And Lord, this morning, we would realize and what would happen in our lives, the reality of the work of the Son of God would destroy every work of the devil. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Hey, you may be seated. So the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. The story begins in a manger. And it ends on a cross. The reason the Son of God appeared, the reason for his appearing was to bring a destructive work, to destroy the works of the devil. I got three simple points, three takeaways from this passage that I want us to glean from. If you're taking notes, write this down. Write down, we love God's purposes. Why don't we say that together on the count of three? 1, 2, 3. We love God's purposes. 1 John 3 begins, verse 8, by saying, the reason. Do you read it? Do you see it? That's what it says, the reason. God always has a reason for everything that he does. Right? Amen? He does nothing without a reason. He has a reason for everything that he does. He's a God of purpose. All his acts are with reason, and all of his acts are perfect in every way. The reason the Son of God came, the reason he came because of a reason. He came because of a purpose. God always has an objective, a reason, a purpose. He's always accomplishing his goal, his aim, his causes. He God does nothing without purpose. He does nothing without reason. We love God's purposes, don't we? Tell your neighbor, say, I love God's purposes. I love His purposes. Psalm 33, verse 11 tells us this. Here's what it says. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes, there it is, the purposes of His heart through all generations. So there it is. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of His heart through all generations. So from beginning to end, from first to last, He's never out of control. He's always in control. He's always working for a purpose. And here we are, 10 days, I think, before Christmas. And we're thinking about, we're reading about, we're singing about, we're celebrating the Christmas story, the reason the Son of God came. I just want to read it to you. I just want you to hear Luke's account in chapter 2, verse 16. Here's what he records about the shepherds. So they hurried off from their fields, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. There he was. When they had seen him, they spread his word concerning what had been told to them about this child. The angels had appeared and told them, there's one to be born in Bethlehem. Go and find. And all who heard the story of the shepherds, the Bible says, were amazed. They were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary treasured all these things in her heart. She pondered them. The shepherds returned back to their field, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just like they had been told. So there he was, right? There he was, exactly like they had been told. There he was, Jesus, lying in a manger. They were told he would be there. They found him. He was there. And they told everyone they could tell. Go tell it on the mountain. They told everybody, right? Everyone, and the people who heard it were amazed. Mary's pondering all these things. She's can you imagine, right? She's pondering. The shepherds return to the field, and they're glorifying God. They're praising God. They were amazed at God's plan. They were stunned at the purposes of God. And everybody who heard it was amazed. They told them, right? They told them. And there's a story that the shepherds and people were just in awe. Those who witnessed it firsthand, they were stunned. God always performs His purposes. Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, in chapter 1, verse 5, says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. The point I want us to gather from this is that God had a purpose the whole time. Before anybody else realized it. Before anybody else knew about it. Jeremiah wasn't an accident, right? Can I just say this? No child, no baby, no birth. No preborn child is an accident. Pause for emphasis. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. He was designed by God, formed by God, Interestingly enough, the one who brought him in to the earth, his mother, remains nameless. But God used her womb to accomplish his purposes. So there he is, again, at work, accomplishing his purposes. God used Jeremiah's mother's womb as an incubator, as God formed Jeremiah. While in his preborn, embryonic stage, God was forming him. God did that. God did that. He was set apart in advance. God always has a plan. God always has a purpose. Jeremiah gets a little older. God is encouraging him. Jeremiah, in your fears and your doubts, no, I had you. I had this whole thing in mind from the beginning. And like some of us, rephrase that, like a lot of us, like most of us, probably all of us, sometimes we hear something and we're convinced that we believe it. And then when the rubber meets the road, life and fear and doubt come and we need some reassurance. Jeremiah was no different. You and I are no different. God begins to tell him, don't argue with me. I formed you. I put words in your mouth. And he begins to work with Jeremiah to develop his prophetic eyes and ears and mouth. And Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, here's what it says. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Don't you see? This had so little to do with Jeremiah and so much to do with God. Right? Can I just suggest to you that God's purposes and plans, although they involve us, have more to do with God than they have to do with us? He's accomplishing his purposes. And why couldn't God use you for amazing things? Why couldn't God use you for great purposes? This has more to do with God's power than our power. It has way more to do with his capabilities and his purposes than our purposes. We love God's purposes. They're amazing. Say, God always has a plan. Say, we love God's purposes. So for everybody at a crossroads, everybody who's experienced tough times, for anybody here has a problem or a difficulty or a challenge, this one right here is for you. Here it is. David is at a crossroads of his life. He's running for his life, actually. And records the 57th Psalm, verse 1 and 2, and here's what it says. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills, here it is, his purposes in me. So David's at a crossroads. He's afraid. He's running for his life. His life is in danger. But he reminds himself, I cry to God who fulfills his purposes in me. God has multiple reasons for your life. Multiple plans for your life. This has way more to do with God than us. Let's do what King David did. Take refuge in the fact that God is the one who performs his word over our life. Cry out to God. God, fulfill your purposes in me. Surrender to him. Let him carry you. Maybe you're here wondering, like, hey, you know, that sounds good, and that's probably good for a lot of other people, but I don't know about me. God is fulfilling his word over you. He's fulfilling his purposes over you. And you say, man, how's that going to work? Maybe that's cool for some people. You don't know what I've been through. You know where I'm coming from. You know what has happened to me. And God says, oh, don't you know? While you were in your mother's womb, I knit you. Before anybody saw your cute little face, I knew you. I knew you. When you were born and only your mother thought you were pretty, I knew you. I have a plan for you. And we love God's purposes. The reason the Son of God came was to destroy the works of the devil. Second, we love God's revelation of Jesus. Isn't that the Christmas story? We love God's revelation of Jesus. The reason the Son of God appeared, he appeared, what? He appeared. The reason the Son of God appeared, he came, he was born, he appeared, he came onto the scene. Be amazed at that. Be like the shepherds who were amazed. They were stunned. He was born. The most significant event in the history of the universe came to us. Jesus Christ came to us. The birth of Christ. Here's how he appeared. Matthew tells us. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, to be married to a man named Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man, and he did not want to disgrace her publicly. Pause there for a moment. Do you feel that tension? The obvious dilemma that Joseph had? The angel comes to Mary first, not to Joseph. Mary tells Joseph. He's like, I don't know about all that. He's heartbroken. He doesn't want her harmed. Could be stoned. He's quietly, heartbreakingly backing out of this. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. What's the message? Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We love God's purposes. We love the revelation of God in Jesus. We love God's revelation of his son, Jesus. So, who is the Son of God? Jesus. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, calls him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not like far away, but God with us. I like that name. I hope you like that name. Emmanuel, which means God with us. There's a guy by the name of Philip and a guy by the name of Thomas. Philip and Thomas are having a conversation with the adult Jesus. And Philip's really trying to understand this thing. He's trying to grapple with what we would call the deity of Christ. What we would call the lordship of Jesus. That Jesus is the Son. He's grappling with that. And Thomas says to Jesus in John, I'll just tell you the story. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How are we going to know how to get there? How do we know the way, right? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Oh, who's the him? The Father. Philip's listening in. put yourself in the room, just kind of observing this. He says, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Right? Jesus says, how long have I been with you? And you still don't know me? Philip, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. That's what Jesus says to Philip. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I don't speak by my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. And he lands like this. Jesus says this to Philip. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Jesus is revealing himself as the incarnate God, as the Son of God. He is all that is in the Father revealed to us. He's 100% man and 100% God. The mystery of the Immaculate Conception. You don't have to look any further. You don't have to search anymore. God is revealing himself to us in Jesus. If you want to know what God's like, look to Jesus. If you're wondering what God looks like, look to Jesus. If you're wondering if God cares, look to Jesus. All right, lights, where you at? Here we go. Glitch in the system. If you're wondering if God wants anything to do with you, look to Jesus. If you're wondering if God has a message, is God talking to us? Look to Jesus. If you're wondering who God is, look to Jesus. The night the lights went out in Alabama. If you want to know what God is saying, what God is doing, look to Jesus. Don't you know, Philip? The Father is in me and I'm the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want a revelation of the Father, you got it right here. Look, I'm looking at you. Believe me that I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. When you see Jesus, you see God. And there the shepherds are. They're like, whoa, whoa. The angel told us. Can I tell you, and can you imagine? Just telling everybody. This is back when we had to talk to each other. You know, before we had cell phones and telephones and email and social media and TV. And like, we had to talk to each other and stuff, you know. The way you found out something, somebody talk to you. They're telling everybody. And they are amazed at God's plans. They are amazed at the revelation of Jesus. What I would say to you is believe Jesus when he says, I am in the Father and the Father's in me. How do I know if God is revealing himself to me? In what way could I know that? In what way can you help me, Pastor? Is there a practical way, possibly, is there some kind of gauge that the Scripture will give us to know? Are we really connected to God? Is he really at work in me? Can you give me something practical to gauge the spiritual? I think that's a valid question. And I believe that Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10 will help us with that question. Let me read it to you and let me give a quick application as a gauge. How do I know all this? How do I know if this is working in my life, right? Verse 9. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. I just want to pause for a moment and say, whoa. Like, yeah, that's a huge prayer, right? So Apostle Paul's praying that, saying that over the church of the Colossian church, right? We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Okay, I'll sign up for that. That sounds, wow. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. Okay, so he's connecting something, right? And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. Okay, so let's unpack that for a moment. What does that mean? How is that a gauge? So he's asking that God would give them complete knowledge of his will. How many would say, man, I just want to know the will of God for my life. Just wave at me. Just come on. Just, you know. If your neighbor's not raising your hand, just lift it up and raise your hand for him. Say, you want this. You know you do. And you can call their name and say aloha. Okay, so he connects something in verse 10. Is it up there? Yes. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. Okay, so when you know God's purposes and plans, and you have a knowledge, a deep knowledge of his will and spiritual wisdom, what happens is it begins to affect your life. It begins to transform your life. It begins to bring about an internal change. It first works its way inside by faith, and that faith works itself out to a changed lifestyle, a submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the result of that is the end of the second part of verse 10, which is, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. So how is there a gauge that I can know if I'm moving in the right? Am I connected, right? Is this thing working in my life? Faith rises up. Change starts to take place. And good fruit starts to grow. It takes a while for the apple to ripen. It takes a little bit for the orange to be edible. It takes a while for the grapes to grow. Be patient as the Holy Spirit works in your life to produce change, to produce, what's it say, every kind of good fruit. And all the while you will grow as you learn to know God, what's it say? Better and better. So how do I know if I'm getting it? How do I know? I begin to bear fruit. Fruit is evidence that there's life in the vine, right? We're tracking together, right? Fruit is evidence there's life in the vine. No fruit, no life in the vine. If the fruit's not growing, there's something wrong with the vine. There's something wrong with the root system. There's a disorder, a sickness, a disease. Something is amiss, something is wrong if fruit is not growing. If I don't have fruit growing in my life, there's a disconnect between the branches, right, and the root. Fruit is evidence that you're living. So what is the byproduct of your life? Galatians tells us what fruit looks like. What does that look like? Here, let me give you what it says. Love, joy. All right, how many would trade that for junk of the world, right? Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, peacefulness, gentleness, self-control. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So there's fruit growing in my life. Question, are you more loving this year than you were last year? I'm just, right? This is for us. This is Christmas together. Are we more loving as individuals? Are we more loving as a church? Here's a legitimate question for any church. Are you more loving this year than you were last year? Because if we're supposed to grow in fruit, then there should be more fruit. Are you more joyful? Can I just help you a minute? That doesn't mean you don't have discouraging things in your life. We all have hardships and setbacks. As a matter of fact, God gives Paul direct guidance on what to do. He shows up on an island and a deadly snake bites him. Like, what? He's in the perfect will of God. He gets bit by a deadly snake. So you're going to have hardships and difficulties. And to finish the story, God healed him and he didn't die. So just because you have hardships doesn't mean you can't have joy. Joy knowing that there's a God who loves me. He's prepared for me, a place for me. And after all this is said and done, it gets better. It gets better. Is there more peace? Patience. Are you more patient now? Now, let me help you. Be careful if you start praying for patience. Because you know what's going to happen, right? How does God grow you? He doesn't grow you by sending you on like a retreat. He grows you by sending you to boot camp. Are you more kind? Are you gooder? Is there more goodness? Are you more faithful? Faithful to your word, faithful to God. Are you more gentle? I do not want to grow up to be a grouchy old man. I can't do nothing about the hair. I can't do nothing about, you know, the calendar. But man, I just don't want to do it. Do you have more self-control? We love God's purposes. We love God's revelation of Jesus. There he is, the Son of God, born to us. Thirdly is this. Here's where we land. Jesus destroyed everything that holds us back. Jesus destroyed everything that holds us back. Turn to your neighbor, turn to your Aloha neighbor and said, he's destroyed everything that holds you back. Everything. Say everything one more time. Everything. Not some things, not a few things, not a handful of things, not most things, not almost all things. He has destroyed everything that holds us back. Don't get pulled backwards. Don't let your friends pull you backwards. Don't pull somebody back. Don't let the enemy deceive you. We're in this together. We're accountable to God for ourselves, but we're in this together. 1 John 3, verse 8, for the Son of God appeared, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. There it is. That's why he came. That's why he showed up. He showed up so he could destroy. He's a destructive God. Oh, he's a destroying God. He's a destroyer. He destroys works. He destroys territory. He destroys the works of the devil. That's the reason he came. Destroying the works of the devil, his mission, his purpose. That's the reason for his coming, to bring destruction. Well, Merry Christmas. Genesis 3, verse 15. Worship team, come on. From the very beginning, God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. That is what God is saying between the serpent and Eve. The serpent comes in the garden, begins to question. Did God really say? Did God really say? Did God really say? The work of the devil. So if the reason that God came was to destroy the work, what is the work of the devil? The work of the devil is to tempt people to sin. That's the work of the devil. When they sin, his work is accomplished. So the reason the Son of God came was to destroy that process, was to destroy that work. The work of the devil is to tempt. When the temptation manifests into sinning, the work of the enemy is accomplished. So what the Son of God came to destroy is not just the guilt of sin, which he destroys, but he came to destroy actual sinning. Are we tracking together? So the Son of God came to destroy sinning. That's the reason he came. His arrival was for violence, to bring destruction to the works of the devil. The Son of God came to destroy sinning. The enemy on the rebel planet is sin. The deadly virus in the Appalachian village is sin. The force to be conquered on the Western Front is sin. When people commit sin, it is a work of the devil. When the work of the devil is to tempt people to sin. When they sin, when we sin, that work is accomplished. Christmas is God's invasion on enemy territory to rescue us. Tell your neighbor, say, he came to rescue you. He came to rescue you. To rescue a people from the devil and destroy the sin in their lives. That's why he came. That's what Jesus is doing. So there he is. He has all authority. The reason the Son of God came was to destroy. He was born to die. His life was one that would bring destruction to the work, to a helpless, hopeless people that had like zero chance at success and 100% fail rate. Jesus came to flip the script. That's good news. He came to flip the script. He came to break every chain. He came to give you strength for resistance. He came to destroy the pattern of sinning, and so that there would be an invasion in your life of the person, the work of the Holy Spirit that would work in you and through you to produce something, to produce a fruit that looks completely contrary to the things of this world. Ha ha! That's a Merry Christmas message right there. Sin deceives, destroys. Stop being deceived. So I had this thought this week. It's a simple thought. God wants us to be done with even the things that we might say are insignificant sins. Oh, I'm not robbing nobody. I'm not like assaulting anybody. I'm not hurting. God says, I want all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want all of it. No leaven in the bread. None. Right? To destroy that. The good news is that the work has been completed. And the Bible says, when I apply faith to the completed work of the cross, what happens is everything that was accomplished here, everything that was done here, is now gifted to me. All the destroying work of sin on the cross is applied to my life, and I can be free. Oh, don't you love the cross? Don't you love the cross? Don't you love it? Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed. Not ashamed of this message. It's the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the cross. My Savior was born to die. And he died and he destroyed the works of the devil. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Today, we're here together. And one day we will stand before God individually to give an account of our lives. But he's gifted us each other. He's gifted us the church. We are the church. If you're a guest, welcome to Life Church. We're a people who are figuring it out as we read the Word and as the Holy Spirit guides us. And we are learning and we are growing and we are hopefully being changed and transformed individually, but as a group, so that individually, we are producing more fruit, and corporately, we are producing more fruit. So we're individually accountable, but we're in this together. So you are not alone in your struggle. And Jesus can identify with every temptation you're experiencing, every single one of them, to its fullest measure. He's the only one that faced temptation and did not sin. He knows the full weight of what it's like to be tempted. He knows the full measure. He's come to set you free. He's come to set us free. If you're here today, you say, Tim, that's what I need, man. That's what I need. I need the destroying work of God in my life. I need him to bring some destruction to patterns in my life that have been holding me back. We can make up, and Jesus came to destroy that pattern. Heaven would say, Tim, today's my day for a relaunch. Today's my day for a restart. Today's my day that I'm going to put my faith in Jesus, and I'm going to fully surrender to his plans and purposes. Today's my day. Maybe you're here as a whole family. And as a family, you might say, today's our day. Maybe you're here as a married couple, and you say together, that's us. Today's our day. Maybe you're here as a teenager or a young adult, and you say, today's my day. Maybe you're here with a friend, and together you both say, that's us, today's our day. I want the sin-destroying work of God in my life so I can experience all that he has for me. I don't want a little bit of leaven in the bread. I want it all gone. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the cross. I'm not ashamed of the stripes. I'm not ashamed of the nails. I'm not ashamed of the crown of thorns. I'm not ashamed that he bled and died, because it is the power of God unto salvation. That's my only hope. That's my only hope. And today I want to put my trust in him. Today's your day, friend. On the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to lift up your hand and say, count me in. Today's my day. Count me in. Today's my day. I don't want to go back. I'm not going back. I've been back, and I don't want what's back there. I've been back there. I don't want that no more. I know what, I've seen what that's about. I don't want that. I want the sin-destroying work of God in my life, and I'm ready to surrender fully to him. Tim, today's my day. Today's my day to make a bold stand for God. Christmas 24 is my season. Today's my day. All over the place, on the count of three, if that's you, include me in that prayer, Tim. That's what I need. One, two, three. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want us all to reverently stand up on our feet right now. Together. That's what I want. I want him. I want him. Isn't that what you want? That's what you said. That's what we want together. That's what I want. I want to lead you in a prayer right now. Let's pray together. We're in this together, man. We're in this together. I want us to pray together. Would you pray with me right now? Are you ready? It's a full surrender. This is my season. Maybe I went backwards for some reason. I don't want to go backwards. Maybe I fell away. I don't want to fall away. Maybe today I never made sense to me until today. But today's my day. Let's pray together, boldly and out loud. Pray this. Say, dear God, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I say thank you for sending help. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for my sins. Thank you for a second chance. And today, I confess that I'm a sinner and ask for forgiveness. I declare that Jesus is Lord. I believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for my sins, and you rose from the dead. And you have defeated every plan of the devil. By faith, I applied it to my life. And I thank you, God, for your power. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit. Strengthen me to fight a good fight of faith. In Jesus' name. Come on, just begin to worship God all over the place. Come on, begin to worship Jesus all over the place. Begin to worship him all over the place.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.